Thank you all so much. That was a great blessing. That was great. That was good. Great. If you have your scriptures, let's turn to the book of Matthew, the gospel according to Matthew this morning. We'll look at chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. If you want to use one of the pew Bibles, it's page 807. I'm going to pray, and then we'll look at this text. I'm trying to save my energy a little bit here. Father, Lord, we thank you for the great blessing of the song that was just sang, reminding us of Christ. He will reign forever and ever and ever and ever. I pray that as we go through this text and your providence, a song that fits right in, what your word wants us to hear, that we would grasp the kingship of Christ. He's not like a president. He's not like just some earthly king. He's the cosmic king that we're all to yield to worship. Holy Spirit, we pray that you do your mighty work in taking your word, helping us to see and understand what's here, helping us to apply it to our lives. Help us understand what it says about you. Help us to understand what it reveals in our hearts, things that ought not to be there, and to give you the praise for your salvation. As always, give me strength this morning. Pray in Christ's name. Amen. So verses 1 through 12, hear God's word. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose, and we have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go, search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I may too come and worship him.' After listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way." This ends the reading of God's word this morning. He who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit of God is saying this morning. The words of George Frederick Handel's Alleluia Chorus, taken from his famous work Messiah, captures the essence of the description of Jesus in this passage. We see in this passage that Jesus is no ordinary baby. He's a king that all the kings and peoples of the earth are to take notice of, to listen to, and to surrender to his lordship. Jesus in this passage is a king of cosmic proportions, whom we're called to give our highest affections to. If you're familiar with the song, I won't sing it to you. That would be horrific. But the Alleluia chorus obviously is beautiful. It's fascinating. I think I heard it not too long ago at a Norwin concert as part of the opening chorus. But it talks about Alleluia, Alleluia, Alleluia. For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. It's the idea of God's all-powerfulness. And it repeats, Alleluia, Alleluia, Alleluia. For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. The kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, of his anointed, of his Messiah. He shall reign forever and ever, forever and ever and ever and ever. And then it goes on, King of kings, Lord of lords, King of kings, Lord of lords, he shall reign forever and ever and ever and ever. This narrative that we just read is a collision of two realms, the political and the religious. Things we usually shy away with at the holiday season. We don't like to discuss religion and politics because it causes arguments and divisions in the family. But concerning the person of Christ, God wants the world to take notice. In the world of politics and religion, it all converges in Christ. Jesus, this figure, God makes clear that his Son is the supreme ruler, not only of heavenly things and of heaven, but he's the supreme ruler of earth and earthly things. Most people would like to relegate Jesus and his authority just to heaven. But as the one who created the world, the cosmos, and all mankind, he has authority to reign over his creation, even your heart and your life. For the most part, we like a Jesus who will take us to heaven. We like a Jesus who will deliver us from death. But the real struggle comes in giving Jesus our lives. Our worship, our conforming, our desires, our thoughts, our motives, our attitudes, in all of our relationships, are we yielding them to his authority and his ways? The Christmas story is about Jesus coming to save his people from their sins, no doubt. But it's also a story of a king. A king that was promised to King David long ago that one of his sons would reign forever. And ever and ever. This is not just a human king, but a king to worship. We don't worship people. God would never allow that. Jesus is unique. He is different. He is fully God, fully man, and he deserves our praise and our worship and surrendering to his kingship. He's the one we are called to place our highest affections in. So as you consider Christmas this season, ask yourselves these questions in your day-to-day moments, in your day-to-day decisions, in your day-to-day interactions with your siblings, with your spouse, with your person on the street, in your work. Is your attitude, your thoughts, and your lives being directed by the kingship of Christ? Are you living under his authority and under his teachings, under his rule? Or do you just see him as a ticket? A ticket to heaven. The text is calling us to surrender our hearts and our lives to the cosmic king of the universe, Jesus the Christ, Jesus the anointed, Jesus the Messiah. Scriptures make clear he's the King of kings. He's the Lord of lords, and he demands, he compels, and when you get to know him, you'll want to give him your highest affections. Matthew starts it, and he says, the king of cosmic proportions has come. He says in verses 1 and 2, he says, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose, and we have come to worship him. With the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem, some cosmic events have taken place. A A group of wise men traveling hundreds and hundreds of miles from the east have come to worship this child. They said they've seen his star. These wise men could have been, some people believe, Persian or Babylonian priests. Some people thought maybe they were magicians, people who studied astrology, but they were people who would seek after wisdom. They said, we see his star. We saw his star in the sky, and it's pointing to someone new. It's something different. It's someone cosmic, and we've come to worship him. Most people believe these wise men would have been familiar with the Old Testament passages from the times of the exile, which happened in 722 through 586 BC, where the people of Israel were exiled out of their nation into these eastern lands. They would have learned about these truths from people like Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That they would have been familiar with these scriptures. They were searching for truth. They were searching for the answers of life. Why am I here? What's going on? Why do things die? Why is there this sense of oughtness of right and wrong? What makes sense of these realities? They were studying and searching for the one that had the answers. And in their studies, people, they would have understood this prophecy from Numbers 24:17, most people believe, from Balaam, who was a Gentile prophet. This is what he writes. This was written hundreds and thousands of years before this event. He wrote, I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come out of Jacob. A scepter, a ruler, shall rise out of Israel. It'll crush the forehead of Moab and break down the sons of Sheth. As people who were searching, who were honestly studying and seeking, who have been familiar with this passage, and a star appeared, one like no other. They knew a ruler would come and crush the head of God's enemies. About this star, some people think maybe it was a comet. Some people think a supernova. Some people think it's an alignment of planets that made the sky just burst. They can go back and date to some of these events happening somewhere approximately around the time we think Jesus was born. But I think it's a supernatural phenomena. I mean, all kinds of supernatural events have been occurring, right? The eternal God of the universe has just arrived through the womb of Mary. Some supernatural things are occurring. There is a miraculous birth of John the Baptist, a woman who was too old to give birth. She's able to give birth. There's the virgin birth of Jesus through Mary. This is a supernatural event occurring. Something special is happening. Angels are visiting various people saying, something's about to happen. The world needs to take notice. And so it's easy to see this star, some kind of supernatural phenomena. These wise men were probably traveling up to 800 miles away, not as far as Gary walked, but 800 miles. It took them probably at least 40 days to pay homage to this baby. If it was just an ordinary baby, they wouldn't have walked that far. This baby's different. He's absolutely different. They've been familiar with texts like Isaiah 9:6 that talks about a child. Listen to how Isaiah 9:6 talks about a child. We're going to give him the name Wonderful Counselor and Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Who dare calls a child Mighty God? Unless it's him. Somehow the eternal, infinite, spiritual God mysteriously and supernaturally takes on another nature like us and is walking our planet. He's crying in the arms of his mother. This child is called Mighty God. What would make these men travel so far? This child is Mighty God. He is one to worship, one to put our hopes and dreams in, one to follow, one who can rescue and deliver us from our enemies. Jesus, born of the Virgin Mary is Mighty God. Jesus is not like any king of ancient past. Jesus is not like our presidents whom we can ignore or vote in and vote out. A president we can try to impeach or try to keep. Jesus is Mighty God. He's the creator of all things. And we're called to surrender our hearts and affections to him. The one who made planet Jupiter, the one who made the Milky Way galaxy, the one who created this entire universe is now born as a child in Bethlehem. So the question we always have to ask ourselves is how we'll relate to this king. How we relate to this child who's no longer a child. He's the sovereign Lord. How do you relate to him? Who's king over your heart? Who's king over your thoughts? Who's king over your interactions? How do you speak to one another? How do you relate to mom and dad? How do you relate to your neighbor? How do you relate to your children? Who's directing you? Who's telling you how things are and how it can be beautiful? Who's directing you or him? The problem is that we wrestle with is this king. It troubles those of us who desire our own sovereignty. This King Jesus troubles us who wanted our own way. In verse 3 it says, when King Herod heard this, he was troubled. And all Jerusalem with him, he assembled all the chief priests and the scribes and inquired, where is the Christ to be born? He's troubled. Jesus troubles those who wish to be autonomous. Jesus troubles those who wish to be a law unto themselves, those who think they should have the right to determine what's morally right, what's morally true. We will decide, not you, Jesus. When Herod heard who these wise men were looking for, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Herod the Great, known for his power, his wealth, and his great building projects. The temple was beautiful. He was also paranoid. He hated the thought of losing his power. He was cruel and ruthless, and anyone who would get in his way, he would murder, even his wife and two of his sons. So in this text, he starts the scheme. He wants to know who this child is and where he was born. He says, find out where he is. I would love to worship him. We find out later on, he just wants Jesus dead. That's his desire, to know where he's at. He does not want this child to rule over him. Find out where he is. People and rulers who do not want to submit to the authority and rule of Jesus want him dead. That's why some people don't want a nativity scene in front of a government building. All right? If it's just a baby, if it's just a baby boy born in Bethlehem, it's no big deal having a nativity scene in front of a government building. But if it's the cosmic God, who's the Lord of Lords, who's the King of Kings, who says, you ought to surrender to my authority, get him out of here. Why don't we want Jesus and the Bibles in our schools? It's just a baby. No big deal. This baby is different. I'm king. I'm Lord. You need to listen to me. And if we don't want that, if we don't want to hear that, we want to get rid of him. If we get rid of Jesus, everything's permissible. Do what I feel. Do what I want. I can roll my own life. So people have been trying to throw off Jesus' reign from the very beginning. It's a useless exercise. He defeated death. You're not going to throw off his reign. You're not going to throw off his power. He sees you. He knows you. And he calls you to repent. He calls you to come find a better way. He calls you to find the true way. He calls you to come find life. He says, don't believe the lies. Test him. See, he's the king. People have been trying to throw off his reign and authority all the time. That's why one of my favorite psalms, and you should read it sometime, Psalm 2. It talks about, why do the nations rage? Why do the peoples plot and gains? Why do the kings of the earth set themselves against God? Why do they do that? He who sits in heaven laughs. Do you really know who you are? Think of the scope of the universe, that we're like a dust particle, our planet, in the massive size of the universe, and God spoke it into existence, and we're going to think, we're going to throw his authority off. He laughs. And he says in that psalm, O kings, be wise. Be warned, rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son. Kiss my Son, lest he be angry and you perish. But blessed are you who take refuge in him. It's a beautiful psalm. Kings, be wise. Kings, be warned. Serve him. Kiss the Son. It's a messianic prophecy of the coming of this child. Kiss my Son. Yield to him. Surrender him. Come to him. Worship him. Blessed are you if you take refuge in him. You will be blessed. You'll be covered by his power, his mercy, his grace. But if you fight him off, if you try to throw him off, you will perish under his wrath. So remember how big you are in the scope of the universe. Consider seriously this God. And surrender. He's made you. He put you here. He's put you here. Surrender to him. Seek to know him. He's given us his word to understand life and to have it abundantly. Seek his Son. You can rescue. And this king will draw you to himself. This king supernaturally draws his people to himself. In verse 9, it talks about, after listening to the kings, the wise men went on their way. Behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came and rested over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. These wise men who had been studying the word of God were searching for the long-awaited deliverer of his people, and they were guided by this supernatural star. Though we're not guided by a star in our spot in redemptive history, we are drawn by the Holy Spirit. We are effectually drawn by the Spirit of God to seek Christ. And God writes in Proverbs, I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently, you'll find me. You'll find me. These men, these wise men who were honestly seeking the true King, the true Messiah, they weren't going to miss. They weren't going to go to the wrong house. They weren't going to go show up in someone's house and say, oops. God led them right to Jesus. So if the Holy Spirit is working in your heart, and you've been honestly asking questions, is there a God? Who is this Jesus? Why am I here? Why does garbage happen in my life? Is there an answer for it? Is there a remedy to death? I want to know. Show me who you are. If you're honestly asking those questions, the Spirit of God will draw you right to Jesus, and you will not miss. Jesus says, all that the Father gives me, they'll come to me. Whoever comes, I will never cast out. When you find him, he'll grab a hold of your affections like no other. This king will lay a hold of your affections like no other when you see him in his glory. And it says in verse 11, going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. They fell down and worshipped him. Opening their treasures, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They found the cosmic king. They found the one who captured their hearts and their imaginations, the one they were searching for, to all the questions in their lives, and they worshiped. In Colossians, it talks about in Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Some of you have gone through school. Some of you will go to college. They're going to try to teach you philosophies and different religions. And everybody's trying to ask and answer the questions of life. The scriptures are making it abundantly clear. Everything converges and points to Christ. He has all the treasures and riches of wisdom and knowledge. He's not a God of just saving me from sin. He's not just a God of taking me to heaven. He's a king who will rule and direct my life and answering all the questions that I have. There are some things that are too mysterious to understand. In the realms of everyday living and relationships and just seeking to have joy, it's in Christ. When they find him, they offer him expensive gifts, regal gifts. This is no normal child. He is a king to worship. He's a king to serve, a king to exalt. This title of king is not placed on Jesus again until the time of his crucifixion. He rides in Jerusalem, riding in on a donkey, and they're recognizing. You're acting like a king. They take him to trial. You, the king of the Jews? Yeah, but my kingdom's like no other. It's not of this world. It's something much, much bigger. And then this king, one of the roles of a king is to defend, deliver his people. This king lays down his life. He allows himself to be crucified as the wrath of God is poured out on him for all his people. They put the sign up, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. That's the king we serve. That's the king we worship. He doesn't say, figure it out, clean it up, maybe I'll let you in. Could have saved ourselves, he would never came. It takes a king of cosmic proportions to rescue the lives of his people, to endure the wrath of God, and to defeat death. And he did it. He says, receive me. He says, believe me. He says, follow me. A king that has this kind of love for his people, as the hymn writer says, amazing love, so divine. Divine demands my soul, my life, and my all. He's not just a ticket to heaven. He's king. He's a good king. He's a holy king. He's a powerful king. For the Lord our God, omnipotent, reigneth. Hallelujah. The kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And ever, King of kings, Lord of lords, King of kings, Lord of lords, and he shall reign forever and ever and ever. Paul Tripp writes, the coming of the infinite king means the gracious destruction of ourselves, our selfish righteousness, a loving welcome into the kingdom of God. Just come on in. So in your day-to-day moments, are you following Jesus? Are you living life under his kingship? Surrender your hearts and your life to this cosmic king, Jesus the Christ. He's the King of kings. He's the Lord of lords. Give him your affections today and forever. He's the greatest being in the universe. Rest in him today. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we thank you for your word. And obviously, sometimes these things seem too much to understand. But your Spirit's powerful to help us to see. Help us to ask honest questions. Why was I born? Why am I this living creature that thinks? Where's my destiny? What's the eternal goals? There's got to be more. Things don't seem quite right. And lead us to Jesus. Lead us to Jesus, who saw things that weren't right and comes to bring restoration, reconciliation, and a living hope. Speak to your people, we pray. In his name, amen.